This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, The African Synod, The Church Alive in Africa Today. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. We shall close today's program with Millennium Appointment. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis, in a post on X on Monday, the eve of the opening of the Holy Door to usher in the Jubilee year 2025, said Jubilees are precious times for taking stock of our lives, both as individuals and as communities. They are opportunities for reflection, recollection, and listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, the Pope tweeted, quoting from the Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7. In a recent article published by the Italian daily newspaper Il Messaggero, Pope Francis described the Jubilee as a grace-filled opportunity for encounter with the Lord. Francesca Merlo reports.
Pope Francis has shared his reflections on the Jubilee, describing it as a profound moment of spiritual renewal and encounter. Drawing on its biblical origins, the Pope explained that the term Jubilee is rooted in the sound of the ram's horn, or Yobel, which marked the start of a sacred year for the Israelites as prescribed in the Law of Moses. This period symbolizes redemption, renewal, and social justice through practices such as forgiving debts, freeing slaves, and allowing the land to rest, reminding humanity of its stewardship over creation. The Pope highlighted that Jesus redefined the Jubilee during his ministry. In the synagogue of Nazareth, Christ declared his mission to free captives, heal the blind, and liberate the oppressed. His message expanded the Jubilee's significance, offering not only physical freedom but also liberation from sin and despair. It became a call to heal inner blindness, encounter God, and rediscover the joy of faith. Since its formal institution in 1300 by Pope Boniface VIII, the Jubilee has drawn millions of pilgrims to Rome. This outward pilgrimage reflects an inner longing for renewal, hope, and an encounter with Christ. For the upcoming Jubilee, Pope Francis envisions Rome as a city of welcome and hospitality. He urges the Eternal City to embrace its Christian heritage, not just through art and monuments, but through fostering fraternity and dialogue. The opening of the Holy Door on Christmas Eve will symbolize a passage into new life, inviting pilgrims to embrace the grace of Christ's transformative presence. As the world gathers in Rome, the Pope dreams of a city where diversity and faith unite, embodying a future built on truth, love, and hope. I'm Francesca Merlo.
On Tuesday evening, the 24th of December, Pope Francis will preside at the opening of the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica to mark the beginning of the Ordinary Jubilee 2025, to be followed by the celebration of the Christmas Mass during the night. Our listeners on shortwave radio in Africa can follow the live English language commentary of both events from the following frequency, 9710 kHz, beginning at 1825 local time in Rome, or 1725 UTC. On Christmas Day, Pope Francis will deliver his Christmas message, an Ubi et Orbi blessing, a blessing to the city of Rome and to the world, from the central loggia of St. Peter's Basilica. Our live English language commentary begins at 1150 Rome time, or 1050 UTC. Our special shortwave frequency for the Christmas Day message for our listeners in Africa is the 17540 kHz frequency on the 16-meter band. All the papal events will also be live-streamed on our website, vaticannews.va, and on our Facebook and YouTube channels. U.S. President Joe Biden has commuted the sentences of 37 prisoners on federal death row to life imprisonment without parole, expressing his conviction for an end to the use of the death penalty at the federal level. Pope Francis, who had a telephone conversation with the U.S. leader in recent days, had launched an appeal to pray for the prisoners on America's death row, an appeal supported by the U.S. bishops and humanitarian associations. Christopher Wells reports.
In an act of clemency prior to the end of his term in office, U.S. President Joe Biden has commuted the sentence of 37 of the 40 prisoners on federal death row to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. "Make no mistake," the president said, "I condemn these murderers, grieve for the victims of their despicable acts, and ache for all the families who have suffered unimaginable and irreparable loss." But, the president said in a statement announcing his decision, "guided by my conscience and my experience, I am more convinced than ever that we must stop the use of the death penalty at the federal level. In good conscience," he said, "I cannot stand back and let a new administration resume executions that I halted." Biden's decision to commute death sentences cannot be overturned by his successor, despite a pledge by incoming President Donald Trump to resume executions after his inauguration as president in January. In his previous term of office, Trump restarted federal executions after a nearly 20-year moratorium. That decision was reversed by Biden when he took office. Pope Francis has often appealed for the abolition of the use of the death penalty, most recently in his message for the World Day of Peace for 2025. Earlier this month, during the Angelus on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the Holy Father urged prayers especially for death row prisoners in the United States. "Let us pray that their sentences may be commuted or changed," he said. "Let us think of these brothers and sisters of ours and ask the Lord for the grace to save them from death." The Holy Father followed up on his appeal during a phone call with President Biden on December 19th. The bishops of the United States had likewise appealed to Biden to commute sentences of death row inmates, echoing calls from Catholic organizations as well as other religious and humanitarian advocacy groups. I'm Christopher Wells.
The Catholic bishops of Ethiopia have issued a message for the season of Advent, urging local leaders and the faithful to work towards peaceful coexistence in the country amid ongoing ethnic unrest and humanitarian crises. Lisa Zengarini reports.
In their message, the Ethiopian bishops expressed deep concern over the ongoing unrest affecting various parts of Ethiopia, which is also having adverse impacts on the pastoral work of the local church. Though the two-year armed conflict in Tigray between the Ethiopian forces and the Tigray's People's Liberation Front was formally settled in 2022, the situation in the region remains difficult, with ongoing efforts to address the humanitarian needs of the population and restore lasting peace and a stable local governance. Ethiopia's Amhara and Oromia regions have also been experiencing significant unrest and conflict, leading to severe humanitarian and human rights concerns. In the face of these challenges, the Ethiopian bishops again stressed the need for peace and reconciliation through dialogue. "The King of Peace invites us to lay aside the tools of war, destruction, division and hatred, and to engage towards building peace, justice and unity among all people," they remarked. "The message of Advent urges us to confront these harsh realities with honesty and compassion." The bishops therefore appeal to Ethiopian leaders across religious, political and economic sectors to prioritize dialogue, justice and peace, reminding them that true leadership is shown in listening, in seeking truth and in working tirelessly for the common good. They acknowledged ongoing efforts to mediate dialogue in conflict areas and insisted on the importance of practicing forgiveness and reconciliation on a daily basis. Additionally, the bishops called on the faithful to embody the spirit of Christ by extending compassion, especially to those suffering. Concluding their message, they implored all Ethiopians to reflect on God's love and work towards a nation that becomes a beacon of hope, peace and unity. I am Lisa Zengarini.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Reports from Sudan say rebels of the Rapid Support Forces have asked a group of civilians to form a government in the territory they control. The rebels control swatches of central and western Sudan, including parts of the capital Khartoum, and the Darfur region, where they are reported to have killed thousands of black Sudanese. Rebel leaders told reporters on Sunday that they would not take part in the civilian administration, but that their soldiers would be in charge of security in the new government. The National Army-led government is operating from the Red Sea coast in Port Sudan and controls the north and east of the country. French military authorities have expressed concern over the decision of the government of Chad that France should close its bases in the country by January 31, 2025. France currently has 1,000 soldiers and a lot of military equipment in Chad. The leaders of the French army told reporters in Paris at the weekend that the withdrawal would be impossible in such a short time. They attributed the pressure on them to close the military bases on a hardline faction within Chad's inner government circle. Reports from Chad say negotiations are going on to give the French military more time to withdraw with dignity. The president of France, Emmanuel Macron, has promised to support Ethiopia in its quest to access the Red Sea coast through discussion and respecting international laws and neighboring countries. Mr. Macron visited Ethiopia on Saturday and held talks with Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed. Ethiopia signed a memorandum of understanding with the breakaway Republic of Somaliland, which allowed it to lease a strip of land at the Red Sea coast, where it would build a port and also establish a naval base. Somalia, which still regards Somaliland as parts of its territory, protested.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. Our guest in this edition is a priest from South Africa currently ministering in the United States. During his years in Rome as a student, Father Tabang Ngadimeng was a regular contributor to our daily program. He was in Rome recently to attend the consistory in which Pope Francis created 21 new cardinals. He came to our studios to share with us on his spiritual journey, and I began by asking him to introduce himself.
So my name is Father Israel Tabang Ngadimeng, based in Washington, D.C. in the United States of America. I'm originally from Johannesburg, South Africa. And, I'm 13 years a priest.
And, of course, you used to be a regular contributor to our program.
Tell us about that
experience.
Yes. So, as a student, I used to be a regular contributor here on Vatican Radio for English Africa. And it was very inspiring because that's where I learned how to prepare for my homilies as a priest, because then I would give reflections on the gospel of that day. And it had to be short. You had to know exactly how long it should be. It shouldn't be over the limit. So when Pope Francis talks about these 8 minutes, I know from a media point of view how it had to be, that you couldn't go over the time. And meeting many people and having the exposure of the Catholic news and news around our own faith actually made one to learn more about not what where one only comes from, but the global world, to know it was, even though it's English Africa, but never based only on Africa. You had an understanding of different countries. Sometimes you could hear a name of a country that you never knew actually existed. So it was not only about faith, but also for geography as well, relationships, languages, people's approach to life and the faith.
Tell us about your spiritual journey, how it all began. And
I would say, you know, my journey is always, when I was young, I consecrated myself to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I always think of this, a priest from Milan, from Como, Dongo, by the name of Stefano Gobbi, was actually a good inspiration to me. as the priest, what you call the priest of the Marian movement of priests, and always said, Our Lady says, the priests are my Our Lady's beloved sons, and I always thought of myself as the beloved son of Our Blessed Mother. But my spiritual journey, God-centered and God-calling, at the same time was marked by having these heroes, these saints that have been canonized, others not canonized, very spiritual, like Father Gobbi, please God, he'll be beatified soon because he still works very much miracles and I think a model of the modern priests. And when I was ordained as well, I had Philip Neri, who I went to his tomb this morning to pray, as a model, because I always said to myself, please God, when I become a priest, I do not want to be a grumpy priest. I want to be a happy priest, because Philip Neri was actually a happy priest, even though he was very eccentric, like shaving one side and leaving the other. I don't do that. But I chose this happiness of priesthood. And yet within the spiritual journey, as you know, a spiritual journey for all the saints, there were joyful moments, but what they call the dark night of the soul as well. They had those dark moments of the soul. Like Mother Teresa would say, I could feel the absence of God, you know. And sometimes you feel the presence of God. And I would say in not only in my 13 years of priesthood, but in my whole spiritual journey, I can say that I have had the grace, and I take this as a grace, of experiencing the presence of God and the absence of God. And I take it also thinking this is exactly what forms us as Christians, that every year we celebrate the crucifixion of Christ and the joyful resurrection of Christ. And we ourselves as well, life or God gives us those joyful moments. And then when we go through tribulations, sometimes we think the absence of God is much more powerful than the presence. But even in that absence, if you like, there is still the presence. No? He's never ever absent. He's there. And so my journey has actually been a very God-centered and God-given, and I think it's what I call divine providence, because nothing happens like it's not a coincidence in the spiritual realm. It's actually providential, where God actually knows where to put you. I've never really asked to be sent where in different places, but it's God who's actually kind of thrown like a boom. This is where I'm going to put you. And then I have that wow moment of wow. Had I asked for something else, this would never have happened. But it's always God who's actually planned everything. So I walk by grace and trusting in this divine providence.
And of course, this journey started in South Africa.
Yes.
And now you're based in the United States.
Yes, yes, yes. So I think I moved from South Africa, if you had to call the countries, I mean, moved around, but different ministries in the United States. I did from when I left Rome. Rome was home, as I think as Scott Hahn, who says that, Rome sweet home. So I could also call Rome sweet home. And every time I'm here, it always brings back these beautiful memories of these beautiful churches where walking on where the apostles walked, you know, these holy shrines that maybe when you live here, sometimes you take for granted. You just pass the Basilica of Mary Major. And for some of us now, when you come, it's like, wow, I can spend a whole day in here, you know. And and when I did my licentiate at Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., and living on the campus of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, that was also another wow moment where it's like Rome came again to the United States in a way, because it was a huge reminder of that. And then obviously the pastoral ministry, which I'm still involved with, which is a beautiful ministry where you encounter the people of God where they are. And they also encounter you where you are. And you kind of learn something about yourself. And I've always said to people, and I think I've learned this only over the years of journeying with people, especially in parishes and where there's sometimes discord. Like in families, sometimes people won't understand one another. There'll be fights and misunderstandings. In churches and institutions at work, there are misunderstandings. And I think my solution to all this, I always ask myself, and this is maybe the adult in me, not the child in me, because sometimes when you fight, it's like being a child. You're throwing tantrums. You know, a child just throws toys up and down, and we do at a certain age still behave like little children. But the mature thing for me is whenever something wrong happens, when you face those crosses, someone attacks you or something, or you face a difficult situation where you have to make very difficult decisions for yourself and for others, or maybe a change of life, you ask yourself, how did I respond when those people or that person did that to me or that situation, actually I was confronting the situation, how did I respond? Because obviously it takes two to tango. And obviously when the other situation comes to you, the human you, which is inevitable, is going to respond because you are a human being with a different psyche, a different upbringing, a different approach to life. And when something triggers, you always respond. And to acknowledge your own response and to work on that, because it means that I have to work on my own self, that, okay, when this happens again, when I'm triggered in this way, I know how to respond. And this is what I call psychological and spiritual growth. And therefore, you can take the situation to God. Because if I don't have that approach, how can I send it to God when I'm always the victim? You know, Jesus is the one who's the victim. I need to say, okay, he doesn't want all my gifts, my intelligence and everything. He just wants my sins because he never gave them to me. I should just confess my sins and he can wipe them away and say, my child, start again.
That was South African priest Father Israel Tabang Ngadimeng, currently ministering in the United States. And that's all for this edition. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
And now, our feature, Millennium Appointment. The retired Archbishop of Gulu in northern Uganda, His Grace John Baptist Odama, has appealed to the President of Uganda, Yoweri Museveni, to grant clemency to thousands of prisoners who have been on remand for many years. He made the appeal 1.5 weeks ago during a Thanksgiving Holy Mass he celebrated at St. Joseph's Cathedral in Gulu to mark the 50th anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood.
Now, this is the spirit of the Jubilee. Jubilee is actually a time or a long year period to cancel debts, set prisoners free, slaves free, allow them go back to their families or homelands. I want to make a special appeal to our President of Uganda to grant clemency, especially to prisoners who have stayed so long and their cases have never been tried, but they remain in remand for so many years. Could you grant them what they call President's mercy?
According to sources in the administration of prisons in Uganda, there are tens of thousands of prisoners on remand in the hundreds of prisons scattered across the country. Some have been on remand for more than 2 years. This means these people are kept in jail for long periods before their trials begin. The judiciary in Uganda says these delays are attributable to the scarcity of judicial officials, for example, magistrates who preside over cases in lower courts and judges who preside over cases in high courts. Archbishop Odama was born on 29th June 1947 and ordained a priest on December 14, 1974, for the Diocese of Arua. After his ordination, he served in various capacities, including as rector of Arukrum National Major Seminary. On 23 February 1996, Pope John Paul II, now saint, appointed him bishop of the newly created Diocese of Nebbi. On 2 January 1999, the same Pope John Paul II transferred him from Nebbi to the then Diocese of Gulu. On 30th of the same month of January 1999, the same Pope John Paul II elevated the Diocese of Gulu to a metropolitan archdiocese and also created the ecclesiastical province of Gulu, consisting of the dioceses of Arua, Lira, and Nebbi. Bishop Odama was elevated to the status of archbishop and became the first archbishop of Gulu. He retired on 22nd March this year after serving as Archbishop of Gulu for 25 years. He was succeeded by Archbishop Raphael Wokurach, a member of the Kwamboni Missionaries, who also was transferred from Nebbi Diocese. During the Thanksgiving Mass, Archbishop Odama told the faithful that learning from the teachings of Jesus Christ helped him to lead a responsible leadership throughout his 50 years of priesthood. His period in Gulu was marked by challenges. He was appointed when the government of Uganda was fighting insurgents of the Lord's Resistance Army, the LRA, in the area. Hundreds of children were abducted by the rebels to serve as soldiers and some girls to serve as wives to rebel commanders. Thousands of people were killed, thousands were maimed, with some having their mouth and ears cut off by the rebels, and hundreds of thousands were forced into displaced people's camps. Archbishop Odama offered to mediate peace between rebels and government. He had to travel many kilometers in the bush to meet rebel leaders. This is how he describes that experience.
My period of being an archbishop was the greatest challenging, because we had to do advocacy for peace here locally, nationally, internationally, to try and convince the two parties to stop fighting, but to start talking. It made us go to them. We went to the president quite a good number of times. We took the venture to go to the bush to meet the rebels very many times, until we were in Juba for peace talk. From there, and then we had the chance to go and meet also Kony himself, at least personally, with some of the leaders. We went there to the bush. My group and many other groups, we went, I think, more than four times. Going there was like exposing yourself to death. I even received a letter advising me not to go to the bush, otherwise I would be killed. That atmosphere was not comfortable, but I knew I had to bear it for the sake of my people. What consoled me was the moment the LRA and the government put down the arms and they started to talk.
His Grace John Baptist Odama, the retired Archbishop of Gulu in Uganda. And that was Millennium Appointment for this week. This has been John Baptist Tumusiime.
Anakuja mwenyezi Bwana mfalme, wanadamu kutukomba.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.